In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our sermon text continues our readings from the Gospel of St. Matthew. This morning we read in the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 24 and then at verse 36. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. The disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears, let him hear. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, dearly loved by God. When I was little, my mother sent me out to weed the garden. My father had planted the seed not too long before that, and the little green shoots had just begun to break through the surface of the dirt. And along with them, also popping up, were weeds. And those weeds at this point look very similar to the vegetable sprouts that were coming up. Well, you can imagine what happened. When I went out in my enthusiasm, though lack of knowledge, as I began to pull up the weeds, I also mistakenly pulled up some of the new vegetable sprouts that were growing with them. Little did I realize at the time that I was actually doing what one day I would be telling a congregation of God's people, Jesus tells us exactly not to do. In this parable, Jesus teaches us that most valuable lesson. Jesus told this parable of the weeds, along with several others, as masses of people followed him and stood on the shore on the water's edge of the Sea of Galilee. You may recall that our Savior got into a boat and they pushed him a little bit away out into the water as a pulpit or a podium where he could teach them with a little bit of a distance between him and them. Later, after preaching these parables to these great crowds, Jesus went into a house with only his disciples. And while they were in that house, the disciples asked Jesus to explain this parable. I just read to you the parable of the weeds, and you also heard Jesus' explanation. What does the parable of the weeds mean for us today? It reminds us and it speaks to believers so that we don't lose sight of the fact that so long as we are in this world waiting for judgment day, that there are going to be unbelievers with us. That we're going to grow together in this world side by side. And that it's not up to us, it's not up to the church, to eliminate unbelievers by force. Nor should we think that when we preach the Word of God, that everybody on earth is going to believe. And that one day there will be only believers left in the world in some glorious millennial kingdom that will either precede or follow the return of Jesus Christ. No, believers must live with unbelievers until the harvest. That is Judgment Day. We'll see first that now is not the time to eliminate the unbelievers. God will do that when he returns on Judgment Day. If you recall in last Sunday's gospel, the parable of the sower and the seed in that parable was the Word of God. And the lesson was that the Word of God has many different reactions to it. In this parable, the seed is not the Word of God, but it is believers. Now, you and I know the connection between the two. As God's Word is preached, it does bear the fruit of believers. So God plants those believers like that seed. But next to us, the devil plants unbelievers. And now we look very much alike. It's hard to tell the difference until that day when Jesus returns. And so we must grow with them together. Satan, God's enemy, plants those unbelievers. And Jesus says, now it's not up to you to root them out, to eliminate them from the world. We believers live in a world inhabited by unbelievers. We might even say it's their world. We're strangers and aliens here, aren't we? Our citizenship is in heaven. And we wonder often why God would have us live among these unbelievers for this particular time. It will be that way until Judgment Day. The early church in the Lutheran confessions actually spoke against those who thought that there would be a time when only believers would live in this world. And so Melanchthon wrote in the Augsburg Confession, in Article 17, quote, they, that is the Lutheran theologians and princes, condemn also the teaching that before the resurrection from the dead, the godly shall take possession of the kingdom of the world, the ungodly being everywhere suppressed, unquote. So Jesus tells us in this parable that the believers and the unbelievers are going to grow together in the field. And then in his explanation, he defines the field as not the church, but as the world in which we live. Now, knowing a little bit of church history, you know that the church has not always put into practice what our Lutheran fathers confessed in the Augsburg Confession. There have been certain instances and periods in history where the church did all it could to eliminate those it considered unbelievers. We think of the Crusades, for example, or the Inquisition, or burning heretics like John Huss at the stake to eliminate them. When Luther was excommunicated as an unbeliever, a price was placed on his head. He was declared an outlaw, and anyone could rightfully take his life. There have been times when the church has tried to, at the end of a sword, eliminate the unbelievers from their world. We may not be guilty of anything quite as drastic as the Inquisition or burning unbelievers at the stake, but aren't we sometimes a bit standoffish with them? Don't we sometimes just wish they'd go away and quit bothering us? Maybe we wish, like Jesus' disciples, when we share the good news of their Savior with them and they don't listen, like the Samaritans didn't listen. And James and John said to Jesus, "Shall we call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" Or maybe we think, you know, they're not really worthy of our time, of our money, of our mission efforts to get the word of God to them. Let them spend eternity in hell. That's what they deserve for rejecting Jesus. But who exactly are Christians? Who exactly are unbelievers? When I was a child and I looked at those plants growing together, they looked very much alike to me. I couldn't really tell the difference. Can we always tell the difference? There's some pretty sinful Christians out there. There's some pretty righteous unbelievers out there. And we're growing together. Would we always be able to tell who really is a believer in Jesus Christ and who isn't? Now, certainly that applies to hypocrites in the church. And some commentators take these words and apply it to the church. But I think Jesus' words are clear that the field is the world. And even when we look out into the world, we don't always know who is a Christian and who isn't. So who are we going to eliminate? Whom are we not going to share the gospel with? And there's another matter as well. When you and I look at people today who don't believe in Jesus as their Savior, and we share with them the gospel or we don't, do you know what God's plan is for them? Do you know if it's God's plan to call them to faith tomorrow? Or next week? Or maybe in years on their deathbeds? We share the gospel with them and we see no visible reaction to it. We see no and hear no confession of faith. But we've planted that seed of the gospel, and maybe God's intention is one day to plant that person in the kingdom, in the saving activity of the gospel, and to plant that person as a good plant, as a Christian in this world. Only God knows people's hearts. We can't look there and know who is who. And so we're not to forcefully end their time of grace. We're not supposed to say, I'm not going to share the gospel with them because I can tell they're not going to listen. I can tell that it's not going to do any good or have any effect in their lives. And so Jesus tells us, yes, they oppose us. Yes, the unbelievers persecute us. Yes, the unbelievers threaten us and ignore us. But for right now, let them grow with you. You're in their world. Be salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. Love your neighbor. Evangelize them. Take the time to develop a relationship with them so that you can sit down and share the good news of Jesus with them. The day is coming when there will be a harvest, when the weeds will be gathered and tied into bundles and thrown into the fire. There will be time that day when the wheat will be gathered and come into barns, into my barns. But that day I will determine. The harvesters who are the holy angels, I will send. It's not up to you to eliminate those unbelievers. But I will do that on the last day. We have the assurance that God will do that on Judgment Day. And then, and not before, He will rescue us from their midst. He will take us out and away, as we sang, from their temptations, from their abuse, from their not listening to the Word of God. On that great day of Judgment Day, when that harvest is made, we will know the difference. Just like later, when those vegetables grew up, and the weeds grew up, on the one, on the vegetables, the evidence and the proof of what they were was in the fruit that they were bearing. The weeds were still nothing but empty branches, just leaves. And so as that great day approaches, believers will show themselves to be different from the world in the good fruits that we bear. The fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. The fruits that the Spirit gives us. And the unbelievers will continue with their empty branches of unbelief, of rejection, and of persecution. But on the last great day, God will send His angels and He will make that harvest. He will gather us and all believers up into His kingdom of glory, into His heavenly home. And the unbelievers will be cast aside and thrown into hell. Remember that no one goes to hell because of sins. Jesus has forgiven the sins of the whole world. But people go to hell because of their rejection of that Savior, because of their trust only in themselves. God's instruments of His final deliverance, the angels, will gather His believers. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom. And this kingdom is that saving activity of the gospel that takes place on earth. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth because of frustration, because of anger with self for knowing what opportunity they had, but lost through unbelief. But for us, Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun. Those who are unbelievers will be removed from the influence of the gospel. There will be no second chance. There's no place of burning off or of paying off certain sins between here and heaven. When the angels come, the unbelievers will be removed from that kingdom of the influence of the gospel and will spend eternity in hell. Believers in that radiance of the perfection of Christ that is ours, particularly as our sinful natures have been removed, we will shine like the sun. We will shine in the glory and the radiance of our Savior Jesus. But what's the lesson for us? He who has ears, let him hear. You all have ears. So listen. Pay attention to what Jesus is saying. God has called you to faith. But for now, you and I have to live among unbelievers. Not up to us to eliminate them. It's up to us to love them and to share the gospel with them. You and I live in this sinful world knowing what awaits us. That day when we will shine like the sun, when we and they receive our eternal destiny on the basis of unbelief or faith. The lesson is, it is not up to us to divide and conquer. That is the work that the Son of Man has accomplished by justifying you before his heavenly Father. Amen.